Thank you, Jenny, and good morning, everyone. For our guests, my name is Anton, and I'm the Senior Minister here at All Saints. I'm really missing seeing all of you gathering together this morning to worship God. It'll be so good when we get to do that together. But how timely it has been to have teaching on the Holy Spirit. Even though we may be distant from one another, we are reflecting on the God who is present with us by his Holy Spirit. And today we're looking at gifts of the Spirit. What type of gift does God give by his Holy Spirit? He's given something to you. Let's have a think about what that is. Now, we all know what a good gift looks like for ourselves. I've had some great gifts given to me recently. I was given a whale-watching cruise to go on. I was gifted a night photography course to do. I've been gifted Lego for adults as well. A good gift is all about someone knowing you and knowing what will make you feel happy and valued, or at least listening very closely when the subtle hint is dropped about what you want. But of course there are bad gifts as well. A Welsh study a couple of Christmases ago produced a list of the worst gifts people have received. Can you guess what they are? What do you think are the top four worst gifts that people have received? Here's the top four. Number one, a mop. Number two, a shoehorn. Who gives that? Number three, a vacuum cleaner. Fair enough. Number four, a toilet seat. All of them ultra practical. All of them very uninspiring. But what about the gifts that the Spirit gives to his people? Are they designed to make you happy, or are they on the more ultra-practical end? And so when we think about gifts of the Spirit, we want from God something to benefit me, some fun experience, something that will make my life and faith more special. But the amazing thing about the gifts the Spirit brings is that they are given to you, but not for you. They are not designed for your benefit, but for the benefit of others. They are given to you, but they're a gift to the church. And because of how God has designed us, when we use our gifts for others, then that'll be great for us as well. So what has God given you, and what should we do with these gifts? Well, let's turn to God's word, and we'll see that the Spirit enables us to serve God's kingdom through his giving us of gifts. Open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can see on your screen as well, there's a number to text in any questions that you may have along the way. Feel free to do that. We'll have a question time later. And through this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll see that the Spirit enables us to call Jesus Lord, the Spirit transforms us to serve in love, and the Spirit gives gifts for us to use to serve. That's what we'll be seeing today through God's word. So firstly, the Spirit enables us to call Jesus Lord. So at the start of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthian church that, verse 1, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So he's writing to this church in Corinth, and in the original Greek it translates more like, "Now about spiritual things, I do not want you to be uninformed." So the Corinthians have got it all wrong about spiritual things, and Paul is writing to correct their thinking. Paul's writing to say what it is to be truly, to truly have spiritual things. And the first thing that he mentions is not about gifts at all. Have a look at verse 2. "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." So he brings the Corinthians back to their life before they had the Spirit of God. For the Corinthians, they were worshipping idols and they weren't worshipping the true and living God. And therefore, verse 3, "I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say 'Jesus is Lord' except by the Holy Spirit." Can you see the first miraculous work of the Spirit in the life of believers? The first work is he enables us to call Jesus Lord. And not just to say those words, but to have a relationship with Jesus, to relate to him as your Lord, your King of your whole life. This is the first thing that the Spirit must do in us, is work in our hearts so that we have Jesus as Lord. Jesus is what the Spirit is on about. All that the Spirit does is to make Jesus shine in our hearts. And so if we don't have Jesus as Lord of our lives, it doesn't matter what gift we have, doesn't matter how talented you are or how useful you are to the church. If you don't have Jesus as Lord, then you cannot please God with what you have, with the gift that you may have. And so that's why at All Saints, before you serve in any significant way here, we want you to know Jesus as Lord. We want the Spirit to be at work in your life so that you're actively living with Jesus as your King, letting him rule your life. And so the work of the Spirit, firstly, is that he enables you to call Jesus Lord so that we may serve the King. Well, the next thing the Spirit does is he transforms us to serve. In the middle of Paul's teaching on the Spirit's gifts, it goes over three chapters, right in the middle, chapter 13 drops, and it says that all the giftedness in the world means nothing if we don't have love. Flick down to chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Just noisy. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You see, his love is the essential characteristic as we serve God and serve others. And that's the great work of the Spirit, to transform us into people who love others. So in Galatians, as we saw last week, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. But also in 2 Timothy, the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The Spirit transforms us so that we can love others. So when it comes to the gifts that the Spirit gives, they are not for our own advantage or for our own experience, like my whale-watching cruise gift was. They are to be used for the good of others. They're to be used to love others. So whenever you act in love to others, that's a powerful work of the Spirit, because that's what we're called to do, love others, especially when we use our gifts. So what have we seen so far? We've seen that the Spirit enables us to call Jesus Lord. We've seen the Spirit transforms us to serve in love. And also the Spirit gives gifts for us to serve. Paul goes on to talk about the true gifts that the Spirit gives so that we may serve. But what are these gifts? What are we talking about here? Are they something tangible? Are they something supernatural? And what are they for? Well, we need to let the Bible show us, because they're given to us by the Holy Spirit, who has caused the Bible to be written. So let's see what God says about these gifts. Well, first thing to point out, gifts for service come through the Holy Spirit. Let's look through chapter 12 and see this play out. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. To the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, that's verse 8. Down to verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one. Let's go somewhere else. Hebrews 2 says, God also testified to salvation by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So the Spirit of God gives gifts and gives different gifts to God's people. They're the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the Spirit distributes them to his people. What are these gifts, though, that the Spirit gives? What should we be looking for when we think about our gifts? What are they like? How do we know what the Spirit has given us? Well, through the New Testament, there are four or five lists of different gifts. Notice how all of the lists are different. There are some gifts that carry across a couple of lists, but these lists are not trying to be an exhaustive list of gifts. So you don't need to scroll through that table and go, oh, which one do I have? And you don't need to limit yourself to what's on that list as well. It's just a representation that the apostle writes to different churches of what different types of gifts there are. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, being single is mentioned as a gift, or being married is mentioned as a gift. But the big thing to notice is the Bible doesn't explain what almost any of the gifts actually are. There's a list of them, but we're not told what those gifts actually look like. You know, some gifts sound super special, like miracles or speaking in tongues. Some gifts sound perfectly ordinary, giving money, administration, showing mercy. But either way, we're not told exactly what each gift is. So, for example, the gift of healing, you know, is it the ability to stand over a sick person and say, I say to you, be well, and they get healed? Or is the gift of healing something that, say, doctors do when they diagnose an illness and provide a treatment so that people become well? We're not told in the Bible. We don't know. So it's fairly useless to try and work out what each of the Bible-listed gifts are. What is more useful is to look at what the gifts are for. What they are for. Why does the Spirit give God's gifts to his people? Well, we'll see as we look through Scripture again. The gifts are given for edification. Edification. Edification is the building up of others in their faith. It's helping one another to be transformed by Jesus' love, helping one another grow in love for others, and helping one another impact the world with Christ's love. It's for the building up of the church as we grow in our trust in Jesus Christ. Let's have a look where this comes in 1 Corinthians. We use our gifts to edify others. In 1 Corinthians, in verse 7, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And what's the common good for the church? Well, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And similarly down in Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers are given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The gifts are given to build up the church of God in their faith in Jesus. And so that means that whatever gift God has given me, it must throw me out to be other person-centered. They are to be used for the benefit of others, specifically in building them up in the faith. Ye olde theologian John Owen puts it this way. The gifts whereby God manifests his care of the church, so how he cares for the church, are granted to some that they may be used for the profit and edification of others, not for the secular advantage or honour, nor merely for the spiritual benefit of those who possess them, but for the furtherance of faith and profession in others. So gifts are given not for our own sake, but so that the church may be built up in Christ. God's given each of us, as God's people, a task to build others up in faith. And he doesn't just give us the task, he gives us an ability to do the task. He gives us gifts by his Spirit so that we can do that. And this is really important because God is all about the church being built up in Christ. He wants each one of us to keep trusting Jesus until he returns. And he does that by involving you and me, all of us, benefiting each other in our faith. He gives you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you gifts so that you will build others up in their faith as you use those gifts. So you and me, using our gifts, building others up, that's how God rolls out his grand plan of bringing all things under Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing to see your part in God's plan? God is building his church. He's bringing his kingdom as you use the gifts the Spirit brings in, the Spirit has given to you. And so now we can know exactly what a spiritual gift is like. We can now say what a spiritual gift is. Here's a definition from Neil Chambers. He says, a gift is any activity or ability of a Christian, that is, one whose confession of Christ shows that he or she is one in whom God's Spirit dwells, we've seen that, which is or may be employed for the common good, that is, for edification. All right, that's a bit long. Let me boil that down a bit. Here we go. A gift is any activity or ability of a Christian which is used for edification. Gift is any activity or ability of a Christian which is used for edification. Okay, so what have you been given that could be used to build up others? That's the question to ask to work out what your spiritual gift is. You know, in your work, have you developed the ability to lead and manage teams of people? Well, that gift might be of great benefit as we lead our ministries here. Have you got the gift of wisdom? And could you impart that wisdom to younger generations so that they keep trusting Jesus? I'm so thankful for those who have an eye to design and aesthetics, who've, you know, decorated our little music studio or who produce our graphics. Later in the year, I'd love to be able to say, hey, let's do this right now, but obviously not with lockdown. But later in the year, we'll be looking to reboot our providing care team and our welcome and integration teams. Have you got gifts in those areas which might be beneficial to others? And if you think, well, my gifts aren't really being used here at church. Or you might think, I've got no idea how I might serve. Well, maybe spend some time today thinking about how you might do that. Feel free to get in touch with me. What else are you going to do in lockdown? Have a chat with me about what your gifts might be and how we can use them to edify others. The chapter says that in verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So there's no one of God's people that doesn't have a gift from the Spirit. And the chapter goes on to say that we all need different people with their different gifts in order for the church to be built up. It's not just those who have a prominent gift. There might be people behind the scenes. There might be a low-key type of gift. They're all vital to the building up of God's church. And what that means is if you aren't doing anything, if you're not doing anything to build up others in their faith, then you're neglecting the task God has given you. You're ignoring what the Spirit has given you. And the rest of us are missing out on your ministry to us. So in Romans 12, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever your gift is, do it. Don't have your life so full of other things that you don't have the capacity to use your gifts to benefit others, to build up others. And don't feel that you've got nothing to contribute. The great promise here is that the Spirit values you so much that he's given you something, whether it's an ability or a context or a capacity, to make a difference in someone else's faith. You are a part of this church because God has placed you here, and we need you. We'll be better off if you use your gifts that God has given you by his Spirit. Now, some of you might be asking, shouldn't we expect something a bit spectacular? Like speaking in tongues or doing miracles or something like that? And maybe what's going on here, there might be an underlying thought going, okay, when we think of gifts, we think that gifts are a means to a more spectacular form of Christianity, or a means to experience the power of God in your life. But that's not what the Bible says at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul was critical of those who thought that certain gifts were more significant to one's faith than others. Instead, as you read the Bible closely, we see that gifts are a way to a servant form of Christianity. Gifts are given so that you can serve others. Sounds a lot like Jesus, isn't it? Who came to serve others. The authentic Christian experience around gifts is when you see someone else grow in faith because you have served them using your gifts. That's the authentic experience around gifts, is seeing someone else grow in their faith as a result of you using your gifts. All through the New Testament letters, the Apostle Paul rejoices and gives thanks when he sees the people that he has ministered to walking faithfully in the Lord. But of course, we're in lockdown. We can't gather together on a Sunday, let alone do things through the week. How are we supposed to use our gifts when many of our ministries have been put on pause? How can we be faithful to the Spirit's work in us this week or however long lockdown goes for? Well, let's go back to this definition of gifts of the Spirit. It's a gift. A gift is any activity or ability of a Christian which is or may be employed for edification. So we might need to be a little bit more creative and reflective in order to obey God here. How might you edify someone this week? How might you build them up in their faith? If you have the gift of encouragement, who might need some encouragement to live for Jesus this week? How might you get in touch with them? If you have the gift of showing mercy, who might you help this week? And how might you do it in a safe way? If you've got the gift of being savvy on social media, what might you post this week that will edify others? If you have the gift of wisdom, who might you check in on this week and see how they're going, maybe in a battle of that particular sin that you know about? What activity or ability do you have that could be used to build someone up in their faith this week? And then, will you actually do it? Will you set aside time to do it? Will you make a plan, set a reminder to use your gift for the edification of others? Because if you do, you are bringing glory to God by using the gift that the Spirit has given you, by helping others keep trusting Jesus, so that all of us may benefit from what God has given you by the power of the Holy Spirit.